are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show on Indy's Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports.
Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly, and Maxwell Gilley, ladies and gentlemen, is wearing a nice-looking patriotic cowboy hat. Also is the biggest Jeff Gordon fan I know. Max, how are you doing today, man?
I feel much better. This feels much more at home than Owen over here. I stole his hat. It's mine now.
It looks a lot better on you.
Wow, Landon. Do you really mean that, man?
I'm just kidding. I love you, Owen.
We have prom spirit week this week.
And
today's country club versus country, so I figured I'd wear the hat. And that's actually the hat I'm wearing to the race this year.
I'm going
to
judge your fit. I don't know how country that is.
He's
got a flannel.
I would know. I got to give you credit with the flannel, though most of the time people don't wear the flannel open.
Oh, okay. I'll button it up.
It's all good. Now it's time to get right into your NASCAR news. Starting off is the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. They raced at Martinsville last Friday with Corey Heim. Winning for Tricon Motorsports was David Gilliland Racing. Max, what are your thoughts on Corey Heim?
It's great to see that there's been some parity so far in the Truck Series this year. It's a very competitive series. Congratulations to Corey Heim. It's been interesting so far. See, I know there was the whole rain tire debacle, which caused some issues, but it was an interesting race for sure, and Corey gets the win.
You bring up the rain tires. That was really interesting. It was raining as soon as I got home from calling the Covenant Christian and Ben Davis girls softball game with the great Owen Pulley. I turned on the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series from Martinsville and it was raining. I was like, are they really going to race rain tires? And they did, which was pretty incredible to see some NASCAR trucks racing in some rain tires on the wet at Martinsville Speedway. Some notable shout-outs in the Martinsville race for the Truck Series. We have Ty Majeski finishing fourth for Thor Sport and Ben Rhodes finishing sixth for Thor Sport Racing. Another solid points day for the Thor Sport Racing Group. Very consistent. Max, I do have another shout-out to give. You're going to like this one. Matt DiBenedetto finishing seventh. What are your thoughts on that, bud?
It's been interesting to see that he had to go back to the Truck Series. He hasn't had the results that he's really wanted. He gets this nice top 10, so congratulations to him on that.
Also, William Sawalich finishing in the ninth position, which that's a really good result for him. And also, you had Kyle Busch. It was just crazy to see. You know, I guess Corey Heim's truck was just that good because you're passing a two-time NASCAR Cup Series champion and multiple-time race winner in the Cup Series, Xfinity Series, and Craftsman Truck Series. That's just incredible for a young driver like Corey Heim to, you know, pass Kyle Busch like that, because I thought Kyle Busch got this thing in the bag. I mean, you know, every time he gets out in one of these trucks or Xfinity cars, it's usually the Kyle show the whole day.
Yeah, it was interesting to see him not get in victory lane. That was really weird, but this is what the Truck Series needs. It needs to be competitive. It doesn't just need to be something where Cup guys go to just get some free extra cash and dominate the little ones. No. It's important to see some of these younger guys get to beat the veterans.
Yes, sir. Max, moving on to the NASCAR Xfinity Series from Martinsville Speedway. John Hunter Nemechek captures his second win of the season at Martinsville. Max, what are your thoughts?
I'm always rooting for him. I really hope he can go back to the Cup Series soon and be with much better equipment. I mean, heck, if he was even to 38 now, he'd probably be more competitive thanks to the next-gen chassis. Yep. But I've been rooting for him. He was so good in the Truck Series. He's been doing well in the Xfinity Series, so I'm unsurprised to see him win. I'm not going to pick him as a championship favorite yet just because I feel every time I do that, he ends up disappointing.
Bad luck.
Yeah, he does have some bad luck when it comes towards the end of the season, because it's the, hey, you need to win one race and you're a champion now.
Yeah.
So, he's been doing good. I'll be rooting for him. I'll be shocked if he doesn't finish in the championship four, but yeah, good for him to get two wins already in this young season.
Yeah, did you see his burnout? That was pretty insane. He burnt those tires down, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it was insane just getting to see that great burnout. You don't like when you see the fire necessarily, but no, it looked cool.
Also, Sammy Smith, the youngster, finishing second for Joe Gibbs Racing. A good result for him. And Cole Custer, ladies and gentlemen, finally gets a really good result of a top five finish for Stuart Haas Racing, finishing third and sat on the pole. Max, what are your thoughts on Cole Custer?
He had to make some adjustment just going back to down to the Xfinity Series, so I'm not surprised that he had a bit of a slow start. Great to see him get a top three now. He's trying to resurrect his career, and if he can keep getting top fives, he'll do that.
Finally, it was a really nice day for Junior Motorsports. You had three of your cars in the top 10. Josh Berry finishing fourth. Fifth, Brandon Jones. You had two cars in the top five. And sixth, Justin Allgaier. Wow, what a day for Junior Motorsports, Max.
This is what they needed. We talked about some of the discourse early in the season. If you can have them all on one page, and if you can have them all driving well together and helping your team, because this is a team game too. These guys want to win as a team, even if it means that, hey, we get a couple second and third place guys. So instead of having teammates trying to wreck each other out, it's a good thing to see that we had three of the four finish in the top six.
Yes, sir. Much agreed. Last two shouts for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Derek Crouse. He seemed to be really competitive in this colleague racing equipment in the Xfinity Series. Max, you have any thoughts or opinions on Derek Crouse right now? He's doing a fantastic job.
I was wondering how he was going to be doing in the Xfinity Series. He was somewhat decent in the Truck Series. Never was really a championship contender. He goes to a colleague racing team that has really been just great in the Xfinity Series the past few years. I think it really helped get AJ Allmendinger's career back.
Oh, yeah.
For sure, just because he was being competitive each and every single week with that team. Same with Justin Haley a couple of years ago. So I'm all for getting to see him do well in this great equipment.
Last notable shout out here is Brett Moffitt. What a great result for him. Truck Series champion. You know, he doesn't have the biggest sponsorship that follows him to his teams he goes to, but I mean, you get him in a car and he's gonna shine. He'll put that equipment in places it shouldn't be and get you good run finishes, and he finishes ninth at Mars. What a great result for him.
He's one of those guys that if he can make the Cup Series, watch out, just because he is a pure racer. Like you said, he can race anything, and definitely helped the team, and he's such a young guy too. Yeah. As well, so to get to see him doing this already early in his career, he's not one of those guys that's had the best equipment throughout his entire life and then goes to not so decent equipment in the Cup Series and ends his career prematurely. No, this guy's had to fight his way up.
He's kind of like a Ross Chastain. He really had to fight his way with JD Motorsports in the Xfinity Series, then he gets the call to race for Chip Ganassi in the Xfinity Series, and then Ross Chastain gets the call to go to Ganassi in the Cup Series, and he's now at Trackhouse. He's really fought his way up the ranks of NASCAR, and he's a proven winner, and he deserves to be in the NASCAR Cup Series. So that wraps up the Xfinity Series. Moving on to the Cup Series, we have Kyle Larson finishing first at Martinsville Speedway. Max, what are your thoughts on Kyle Larson?
Kyle Larson, man, just a heck of a racer. There's a reason why he was chosen to be one of the top 75 drivers in NASCAR history. Yep. Just as a young guy. So, I mean, Hendrick has been so dominant this season. He finally gets the win. He's been one of those guys who's been there all season long. Yep. Up top. So, this could be another season where we see a Kyle Larson for sure in the championship four, and I think that he could definitely have a shot at winning championship number two.
And he talked about, you know, Martinsville Speedway is not my favorite track by any means. But, you know, he finally gets the win there. It must feel good for Kyle Larson, you know, get a track that you're not the most competitive at. But he didn't dominate the majority of the race. It was really the Stewart Haas bunch that dominated. You know, you had Ryan Preece on the pole. He has a penalty early in the race. And then you have Chase Briscoe lead laps. You have Kevin Harvick win stage two. And you had Eric Almirola up there. Briscoe finished in fifth, sixth Almirola. And then you had Priest finish outside the top 10 of 15th and Harvick finishing 20th, but they led 135 laps last Sunday. It was a great day if you were Stewart Haas. I know you were disappointed you didn't get the win, but, hey, you need to look at what you accomplished at Martinsville and just take that into account into the next race. It seems like they're getting better and better and building something.
I know Kevin Harvick fans may not have been happy so far just based on the results that he has had, but when you look at his teammates, especially a guy like Chase Briscoe, he has definitely shown that it wasn't a mistake to put him in the Cup Series this year. He has been decently competitive throughout the season. I am it's almost like there's a changing of the guard right now, and instead of Stewart Haas Racing being Kevin Harvick versus everyone else, it seems like the majority of the team is a lot more competitive now, and as much as Harvick and his fans may not enjoy that, that's what you need for Stewart Haas Racing because they have been just plain awful. I don't want to seem rude or anything, but Stewart Haas Racing has really struggled throughout the past few seasons, as the Mustang has for a while, but you needed to have some good results this season for Stewart Haas Racing. That's what they're getting. And I know Tony Stewart's going to be happy. He was already happy because he got the NHRA win. But
yeah, that was incredible.
Now he's going to be happy because his team is doing well.
Yeah, you bring up a good point with Kevin Harvick. You know, he's been there and dominating at Stewart Haas for years. And, you know, 2020... he looked to have the championship won. He didn't advance to the round of four, championship four, won nine races that season. But, you know, it seems like, you know, if you're Stewart Haas or just any team, you don't want to just have that one guy just absolutely, you know, dominant. You want to have your whole team as a whole, like you said, just collectively putting an effort in and getting really good results. And also, you know, I feel like the next few seasons, Chase Briscoe is going to be that guy. He will be the, you know, kind of like the Kevin Harvick that was at Stewart Haas when he retires, and just kind of, you know, be the number one guy on that team. And, you know, you look at the Bristol Dirt Race and you look at Martinsville, you know, he was racing those races with a broken finger, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, what else can you say about the guy? He is a racer. He is a talent. And, you know, that just takes a lot of effort and fierceness to just race with a broken finger. That must be really hard, challenging, but he got it done. Max, what are your thoughts on Chase Briscoe?
He has represented the state of Indiana so well in NASCAR. It's great to see another Indiana star. I know we've had some guys from Indiana competing since we've lost Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart out of the sport, but, man, Chase Briscoe definitely representing. He is, I think, the antithesis of what we need some of these guys do. You start out in the dirt, you start out in the Indiana summers just racing sprint cars, and then you make your way all the way up to the Cup Series. We have more guys do that. That's what the sport needs.
You look back when Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Richard Petty, Bobby Allison, drivers like that, you know, came up through the dirt. I mean, definitely Dale Earnhardt Sr., and they, you know, went to the asphalt. I mean, they started racing on dirt because, you know, back then on the calendar, you had some dirt races. It wasn't just asphalt. So, yeah, it'd be really neat to see. Also have some news on the Garage 56. They wrapped up their test at Sebring, and they're going to be heading to Le Mans June 10th and 11th. So that's really interesting for the Garage 56. Hopefully they'll be able to race the 24 hours of Le Mans. That'd be really neat. Colleague Racing will be rescinded at the request of NASCAR. All their penalties from they lost all their points from the penalties, and they'll be all back with the team. All their points will be back. NASCAR's 75 greatest drivers. You have Tony Stewart. Honestly, he should be on that list. A three-time champion or 40 race wins the NASCAR Cup Series. I mean, He's Tony Stewart. I love Tony Stewart. Huge fan. He should already be on that list, ladies and gentlemen. Casey Kane, Mike Stefanik, Randy LaJoie, a Busch Series champion, or should I say Xfinity Series champion, Corey LaJoie's father, Kyle Larson, and the Biff. Greg Biffle is on that list, and NASCAR 75 Greatest Drivers. And then we'll head to, for the Xfinity Series this coming weekend, April 22nd, Saturday at 4 o'clock, Talladega Super Speedway. You can watch that on Fox Sports 1. And then the NASCAR Cup Series will be at Talladega Super Speedway this Sunday, April 23rd at 3 o'clock p.m. You can catch that racing on Fox. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for your NASCAR news with the one and only Maxwell Gilley and Big Nelly, a.k.a. Landon Nelson. We're going to take a 30-second break here on Indy's Giant 90.9. You're listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. And Owen Pulley will be talking some IndyCar news. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after this 30-second break.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Alongside me is Maxwell Gilley. Oh, and you are listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on Indy's Giant 90.9 WBDG 8FM HD1 Indianapolis, ladies and gentlemen. And Owen Pulley will be doing your IndyCar news. Take it away, Owen.
Filling in for Garrett Brickle here, but we saw the Grand Prix of Long Beach over the weekend, and we see a not-so-familiar face on the podium because it is his first victory in Kyle Kirkwood. Gets his first career victory in his 20th career start and his third career start at Andretti Autosport, as he went away from AJ Foyt Racing last year with Andretti. This year gets his first victory, and we also see his teammate Romain Grosjean in second place, and then Marcus Ericsson rounding it out in third place. The last time that we saw a 1-2 finish in the Andretti was Colton Herta and Rossi. And actually, we saw a 1-2-3 finish there. It was Colton Herta, Rossi, and Ryan Hunter-Reay in the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course in September of 2020.
So it's been a little bit for Andretti Autosport to have a 1-2 finish, but it was great to see Kyle Kirkwood get his first career win for Andretti Autosport. Notable drivers that have won at Long Beach are Michael Andretti, Tony Kanaan. They get their first win at Long Beach. It was just a great day for Kyle Kirkwood, and, you know, he deserves it. I mean, he was in, you know, AJ Foyt equipment last season that was not very competitive. He gets this opportunity to race for Andretti. Has had some bad luck. He got wrecked at St. Pete. Gets wrecked at Texas on pit road. But that penalty for Alexander Rossi was kind of controversial, in my opinion. But, you know, finally puts it all together, sets on the pole, and dominates at Long Beach. What a great result for Kyle Kirkwood. Max, what are your thoughts?
I mean, when we look at a race like Long Beach, you hear everyone talk about how much they want to win there. They talk about how that is one of the bigger races on the schedule that everyone wants to win. And to get to have a second-year driver, first year in the Andretti equipment win, that definitely has to feel good. It shows that the Andretti equipment has definitely improved this year, as we've seen throughout the season, and that is something that was key because within the last few years, you really saw Andretti get leapfrogged because it was always Penske, Ganassi, Andretti, then became Penske, Ganassi, and Arrow McLaren, and Andretti was pushed to the side, and they still want to be competitive. So, I mean, when you have a guy like Colton Herta, who they don't know how much longer they're going to want to have, you want your entire team to be competitive. So, I mean, it was exciting to see Kyle Kirkwood get the win.
Yeah, it was amazing to see for Kyle Kirkwood. Pato O'Ward, he had a little bit of controversy and contact with Scott Dixon. It was just an overall bad day for Arrow McLaren. You know, Pato O'Ward, Scott Dixon make contact late in the race. Scott Dixon leaves the race because, you mean, he hits the tire barrier and he has to disqualify from the race, and then Pat O'Ward finishing 17th, and Alexander Rossi running right into the tire barriers. It was just not a great day for Aaron McLaren.
Yeah, we see Scott Dixon take, or excuse me, Pat O'Ward take the inside line over Scott Dixon and keeping it tight. Now, I know without these Indy cars not having power steering, it's a tough drive. You know, any real professional motorsport is a tough drive, everything like that. But, you know, he went took the inside line, just took it a little wide, ended up pushing Dixon straight
really
into the...
He really sent it in that corner. And which, Dixon was not expecting it.
Yeah, it's a tough corner, but at the same time, I think you gotta play it safe, but at the same time, you got to be able to, you know, make a move. That's just racing. And yeah. Dixon, I think it's more of a racing incident than anything else.
Fans are definitely not happy after Pat O'Ward wrecked one of the most popular drivers in all of IndyCar, if not the most popular, with Scott Dixon, seven-time champion and multiple race winner. O'Ward finished the 17th, Rossi 22nd. Also, a new points leader in the IndyCar series. You have the sneaky Swede, ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Ericsson, 2022 Indianapolis 500 winner, takes the points lead from Pat O'Ward. He has 110 points to Pat O'Ward with 95.
I mean, when we look at a guy like Marcus Ericsson, early on in his career, I was really worried about him. He seemed to be toward the bottom of the Chip Ganassi barrel. He wasn't doing so well. He was doing okay, but over the last few years, he's definitely improved. Obviously, when you win an Indy 500, you know that he is the real deal. But to get to back up the Indy 500 win last year with this year leading the series early on, that is exactly what Chip Ganassi wants, because Chip likes winners.
Oh, yeah.
And Ericsson is a winner.
And then you have Alex Palou and third in the championship with 91 points. It's a close battle for the top three, but most closely with second and third, it's only a four-point difference separating Award from Palou. Just want to say that about the point standings. But it's also been really rough for Aaron McLaren, SP. You have Alexander Rossi in 15th and Felix Rosenquist in 16th. Not great to start the season for Rossi or Rosenquist, as they're 15th and 16th in the championship.
Rosenquist is the guy that needs to have a good season this year. Aero McLaren is a seat that a whole lot of drivers are going to want to be in. And unfortunately for Felix, just the last few years, he just has not been the right fit at Aero McLaren. I mean, yes, he did good at the Indy 500, but he's been one of those guys who he will have one great result and five bad results. And it's not always his fault. It's sometimes equipment, and sometimes it's just him getting collected into things. So, I mean, he really needs to start getting much more competitive now, or else I don't think we're going to see him in the Aero McLaren IndyCar. He may get stuck doing Formula E.
Yeah, consistency is key. I want to shout out David Malukas for Dale Coyne Racing, 11th in the standings. He's an impressive talent. And Callum Ilott, 12th for Juncos Hollinger Racing. It's very impressive for those two youngsters in the IndyCar series.
Callum Ilott is a guy who... I don't think he's going to be at Juncos for that much longer.
No.
He truly has been so competitive. It's only up to if he's loyal. I mean, even if you were watching practice, you saw Callum Ilott come from out of nowhere and have a great run. He's been doing great at the Motor Speedway. He's been doing great all season long. I'm really excited to see what he's been bringing this season.
And both of those guys are both tied now, Callum Ilott and David Malukas, at 63 points after the Grand Prix of Long Beach.
Yeah, also you had Santino Ferrucci, great result for AJ Foyt Racing, finishing 11th. We're going to take it back to the Long Beach results. Great result for AJ Foyt Racing. They really needed that. And Graham Rahal, it's been a really rough year for Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan Racing. It's just really been the Christian Lundgaard show. But Graham Rahal finishing 12th, 13th, Jack Harbin, 14th, Christian Lundgaard, a really good points today for Rahal, Letterman, as they're all in the top 15.
I mean, that's what you wanted to see. They, when we look at Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan, they are a team that can surprise you. You will see them come from out of nowhere. That's what happened during this race. The goal is to do well in the month of May, and hopefully they will, but in the very least, this is some good momentum that these guys needed.
Yeah, much agreed, Max. Much agreed. The next race for the IndyCar Series will be on April 30th at 3 o'clock p.m. You can watch that on NBC. The Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix from it is from, I believe it's Barber Motorsports Park. No, Indy Grand Prix. I am so sorry. Jeez Louise, that was really bad. Oh no, I was right. There we go. Jeez, because it said Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix. That just really threw me off. I don't know why. That just really threw me off anyways. But it will be at Birmingham, Alabama at Barber Motorsports Park. That should be a great race. Paddle Ward won it last season, but it should be a great race. They always have great races at Barber Motorsports Park. Well, that's going to – oh, Max, you got something here, pal?
We also have the Indy 500 Open Test happening this week as well. It will be – Thursday and Friday at the Motor Speedway. If you want to attend, you can go on the Turn 2 mounds just when you go to the museum. But you're going to be seeing and hearing the Indy cars this week as well at the Motor Speedway. So just wanted to make sure that we brought that up. It will be live streaming on Peacock, and you'll be able to hear it on IndyCar Radio.
Thank you for that, Max. We greatly appreciate it. Well, that's going to wrap it up for your IndyCar news. We're going to take a 30-second break here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. You are listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. We'll come back, and Owen Poley will talk about Formula One news. We're going to take a 30-second break here, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Reduced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Alongside me is the biggest Jeff Gordon fan I know, Maxwell Gilley, and the one, the only Owen Poley. Owen, take it away with your Formula One news.
Still not a lot of news going on today. Going to keep it pretty short and sweet. No race week today or this week, but race week next week as we see the streets of Azerbaijan get lit up for the night race in Baku on Sunday, April 30th. We still see Max Verstappen in the number one spot for the Drivers' Championship, but that I think it might change sometime this season. I hope, as a racing fan, I hope we see some good changes going on. But, you know, just waiting for Verstappen to not have a great race, which we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, Max Verstappen has not put a foot wrong yet this season. Has been absolutely dominating this season. I'm a Mercedes fan. I'm hoping that, you know, it isn't the Red Bull show every race. They do have those wind tunnel restrictions and aerodynamic wind restrictions for Red Bull because of that penalty, but we'll see what happens. I bet that car's still going to be really dominant, but Mercedes really looks strong out of Australia with, you know, Lewis Hamilton finishing second. But I don't know, man. It just seems like the Red Bull show is just really going to run away with it this year.
We could see, however, if Fernando Alonso picks up a win with the fastest lap and Verstappen and Perez both double DNF. If we see a Red Bull DNF, double DNF, and Fernando Alonso win with a fastest lap, we could see Alonso take the championship lead.
That'd be really amazing, but that, you know, the percentage of that happening
right
is like slim to none. But I mean, what, that would be a great day in motorsports, so to see Fernando Alonso get a victory. I mean, anything can happen in Azerbaijan. We've seen that in the past. Max Verstappen was leading in 2021, and he blows a tire and hits the wall. It was really crazy, and then that race, you had Sebastian Vettel finish second after Lewis Hamilton takes the lead, and he hits the wrong button and locks up going into turn one, and Sergio Perez, the street course king, wins at Azerbaijan. So anything can happen.
Yeah, I think that we'll see a great performance out of Sergio Perez. He just really knows how to navigate the street circuits very well. I mean, we saw it in Saudi Arabia. We saw he had a pretty decent... He had a pretty good race, I should say. Not decent. Good race in Australia. you know, I think he gets it done very well in the street circuits. And especially, I think, at Azerbaijan, where it's got that, they have those 90-degree turns in the beginning, and then it becomes wavy towards the end. I think that he'll navigate it very well.
Much agreed, Owen. Much agreed. You got any more Formula One news?
Nothing huge is going on in the sport right now. I mean, I can take one more double check.
Championship?
Yeah, I can do that. Max Verstappen in first place. Sergio Perez in second place. Verstappen with 2 wins and 3 podiums. Perez with 1 win and 2 podiums. Then the guy with no wins but 3 podiums in all 3 of the races, Fernando Alonso in third place. Hamilton in fourth. Sainz in fifth. Stroll in sixth. Russell in seventh. Norris in eighth. Nico Hülkenberg in ninth, and Charles Leclerc in 10th with 6 points, no wins, no victories. Or no wins, no podiums.
Yep.
So that's the top 10 for them. But, you know, Ferrari really struggling this year, not seeing the results that they wanted to see as they had last year. You know, really had those results early on in the season, struggled towards the end, but, you know, they would have liked to see those news or those results that they're getting right now. Oh, and we do actually have some news going on that Ferrari did set an appeal for Carlos Sainz and the Australian Grand Prix penalty, and the FIA dismissed it, so he did not get any points after the appeal for the Australian Grand Prix.
Yeah, it's been a really tough season for Ferrari. Car's not looking as competitive as it was in 2022. And, you know, it's just been a really rough season for Ferrari and all the Ferrari fans. And I'm really hoping that Ferrari can turn it around and get some race wins.
And we also saw something going on. Planet F1, GP fans, Racing News 365, and F1 are all reporting that Carlos Sainz is the number one target for Audi in 2026.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
We could see him move over to the Audi, which would be under Sauber.
Yep.
So going back or going to Sauber as Audi, that's a big move for a guy like Sainz, which, you know, having that new engine is going to be interesting to see him race.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Much agreed. Got any more news, Owen?
Just looking at some of these other things going on about some of the news, just going on, just looking up the F1 news side of things, that looks like Pirelli's still going to be the number one tire. Michelin came out and said that they will not be going back, because they don't know, or Michelin's still not interested in F1 unless it can supply tires that don't destroy themselves. I know they had trouble in the previous years of struggling with grip and durability.
Yep. Tiregate, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, US Grand Prix. Yeah, 2005. Yeah. but yeah, that was a really rough day if you're a Formula One fan and you were in the US that day to watch Formula One racing. Only like less than 10 cars raced that race that day. I did miss some IndyCar news. I'm just going to go backtrack here. Marcus Armstrong gets a really good result for Chip Ganassi Racing. First top 10 of the season, finishing 8th at Long Beach. Great result for him. And I'm also going to look at the rookie standings with Marcus Armstrong first for Chip Ganassi Racing. Second, Augustin Canapino. And second place for Junkos Hollinger Racing. Then you have Stingray Robb for Dale Coyne Racing. And fourth, Benjamin Peterson for AJ Foyt Racing. Stingray Robb with 32 points, Benjamin Peterson with 26, and Augustin Canapino with 42 points. And then the points leader in the rookie standings is Marcus Armstrong with 43. It's been a really tight battle to see who gets on top of the rookie standings between Canapino and Armstrong. So that's going to wrap it up for this show of the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear us every Wednesday morning from 7:45 to 8:30 only on Indy's Giant 90.9. Also on Audio Boom. We upload all of our episodes on Audio Boom. And let's see this. Max actually do have some news here. He just gave me some moves. The Apple Motorsports Indy NX team and the father and son pairing of Neil and R.C. Emerson are understood to be working together to give Emerson another shot at the Indy 500. Would be a 34th entry for the 107th running. I believe Mr. Easter talked about that. Remember that, Owen, about when we're doing the Ben Davis softball game when they're playing at Covenant Christian. Remember that about the 34th entry?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a bump day this year. Yeah, that's very exciting to see.
It's going to be really exciting. But yeah, like I was saying, this is going to wrap it up for the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. You can hear us from 7:45 to 8:30 every Wednesday. If you didn't hear us live today, you can catch us on audioboom.com. We upload all of our episodes on there. So if you missed us, you can go check us out on Audioboom. For Owen Pulley, for Maxwell Gilley, for Garrett Burkle, I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Couldn't do the show without these great gentlemen always being here and supporting me and always, you know, doing their homework and prepping for the radio show. I'm extremely proud of all of them. They're going to do some great things, especially Max and Owen as they go off to college. With Max, you know, you are committed to Ball State University, SportsLink. Can you talk? We have some time here. We got about 7 minutes. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, it is official. I'm a Cardinal. We are much better than a Sycamore over there. I've already been starting this early. It's going to be really awkward if Ball State ever loses to Indiana State. Either way, I'm really excited to get to be going into SportsLink. It was a lot of hard work over 4 years, but it worked out well. I'm excited to be a part of that. And yeah, I really like Muncie. It will be fun. I'm going to be going to Roots a lot more.
Oh, yeah, that place is fantastic. Remember when we went at like 10 a.m. before the Ball State game? I was probably the earliest I ever had ice cream.
I wouldn't complain, though. That was a good. That was homecoming. You better be back for homecoming.
I'll be back. I'll be back. Owen, Indiana State, you're a Sycamore. You know who went there? The great Larry Bird.
The Hick from French Lick.
Yeah, so are you excited about Indiana State?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think that I'll have some great opportunities presented with radio and in TV. And, you know, in this profession, I think that wherever you go, I think that, like, you know, you see these schools with, like, law school and stuff like that. There's different schools that do different things. Like, I think with this career, wherever you go, you're going to kind of get pretty similar opportunities. Obviously, with SportsLink, working with ESPN is a huge opportunity for Max, and I'm excited
Boy,
for
Max
as well. But, you know, working with Indiana State, they have ESPN2 and ESPN+.
They do great
Plus.
Things there, too, as well. But, yeah, I'm not sure where I'm going to go to college yet.
Alabama
to play football.
Nick Saban, call us right now, 317-244-9234. And because there's all the NIL money, you got to donate to the marathon. May 5th and 6th, the WBDT 57 Marathon. We're going to be at prizes, guests, great radio music for 40 hours and more. Call 317-988-7122. That's 317-988-7122 to donate. We're looking at you, Coach Saban.
Hold on, I think you have a number. You have a caller on the line. Can you pick up the phone? The phone's ringing. All right, I'm gonna donate to this program, and we're gonna run a good program, and we're gonna win football games. Nick Saban's on the line, everybody. Here's Nick Saban.
I'd love to get Nick Saban. You know, that'd be insane if he donated the marathon. But you know, it's just like, you know, imagine having a podcast with Nick Saban and, you know.
Imagine playing for Nick Saban, Landon Nelson's going to do at Alabama.
Jeez, that's a long shot. But, I mean, I'd love to go to Alabama. That'd be absolutely incredible. I mean, they definitely sold me on, you know, the dorms and, you know, just being in this, you know, warm weather and then going to watch Alabama football games. You know what I'm saying? That'd be really exciting. I'd be really thrilled to do that and just watch, you know, a great SEC team and watch, you know, SEC play, because that is one of the best conferences in all of college football. And Nick Saban is the greatest coach, in my opinion, in college football right now. There's no debate. So that'd be really, you know, exciting. But, you know, Sorry, all my Notre Dame fans. I'm a loyal Notre Dame fan, but I'd have to definitely pitch all my Notre Dame gear once I got there.
Hey, Landon, I have a note for you about Indiana State baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about them being good this year. They beat IU and Purdue. Kurt Darling, WIBC, at WIBC Kurt Darling, WBDG alumni posted, and Indiana State alumni posted, final. Indiana State baseball upsets number 4 Vanderbilt 10-2 on the road.
Holy crap. That's incredible. Excuse my, I didn't really say anything.
Number
bad,
4 in
like,
the nation.
Vanderbilt.
That's crazy.
Vanderbilt needs Max Clark right now. Yeah.
Franklin Community Max Clark.
Oh my goodness gracious. Holy cow. That's incredible.
I mean,
wow.
That was yesterday, but they beat them 10-2 in Tennessee. Like, that's in Nashville.
Wow, that's insane.
That's it. We're bringing Indiana State to Omaha, I guess.
Woo! I guess.
Yeah!
They almost made the tournament in basketball. They could make the tournament in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty insane. Well, let's go wrap it up for the All Gas and No Breaks radio show. I want to give a big shout-out to Big Slammer, who makes these fantastic logos, intros, and outros for my radio show. He does a fantastic job on all of these, editing, intros, outros for game. He just does a fantastic job. We're about to play his outro. You see more of his work coming in the 57th Marathon. Spoiler alert, him and I are working on a 80s theme for the marathon, so that should be really exciting. But that's going to wrap it up for the All Gas and No Breaks radio show. We'll see you later, Indianapolis. Big Nelly out!